Hey there, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. fans. Welcome to another episode of the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. After Show here on AfterBuzz TV. Tonight we are talking about Season 5, Episode 10, Past Life. Guys, we've got to get back to the past. Stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Holy cow, guys. This was a dark one.
This was my favorite
episode. It was so dark. We're just like, cut off the music.
Guys, this is serious. Quit that triumphant music. It's so sad and dark.
I mean, kind of triumphant. Like, they did succeed.
I mean,
did they? Yes. But did they?
But at what cost?
Well, they got step one done.
Some of the predictions someone here on this panel predicted came true.
Somebody needs to pick up that phone because we called it. Yeah. But anyway, guys, hey there, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. fans. Let's not waste any time. Let me go ahead and introduce our fantastic panel. To my left, Taran.
My name's Taran. I am a God Von Gosley. You can find me at I Am Taran all across the board or fighting Jesse to the death.
As you can see, Jesse is not here this week.
I tried to tell you last week. You guys didn't want to believe me.
You
sorry,
need
buddy.
To wait until airtime. If we're going to compete with the Super Bowl, we need blood on this show. How
true,
dare you?
True, but it was still from last week.
And to his left, Zach Wilson.
Yes, thank you for joining us during your halftime. Those of you who are watching us live, we appreciate it.
We really do. You guys are the best.
You could be watching Justin Timberlake, and instead you're watching us.
Yeah, Justin Timberlake and the Patriots and Eagles fighting to the death.
That's how the game ends, right?
That is. And actually, it ends when Justin Timberlake shows a nipple. Oh, shows
what?
Yeah. I'm just
hashtag, a twist.
Hashtag Janet Jackson Appreciation Day. And I'm Megan Salinas. You guys can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at TheMenguin. That's TheMenguin. Be sure to follow Jesse at JessKlein1. We're going to be keeping an eye on the hashtag ABTV Marvel. Zach has got you guys covered on the live chat. So, guys, yeah, this was a really dark episode. At the end of the day, the team is triumphant in the end, but there's a long, dark road to get to that point. And this is the last episode we're getting until March because of the Olympics. How are we feeling about where this episode left us off?
This was my favorite episode of the season, right? Because it had all the elements of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. It had espionage, it had action, it had emotions. I think Yo-Yo's performance was amazing. I mean, I felt like when Cassius was holding the knife to her neck, that fear and that tear, the tear dropped and actually, I didn't like Mac when I just didn't feel like he was angry enough when Yo-Yo was killed. But other than that, because I felt like he should have been more furious. And by the way, is Mac not an Inhuman?
Because he got bashed in the face.
He's fine, like
by a Kree.
By a Kree that we still have some questions about.
That's the Mac PCP. Rage. Like I agree. I think this was the best episode of the season. It was fun. It was like driving the entire time. Like you can see where it's going, but the twists and turns are unpredictable as we're gonna get there. I actually didn't find this episode that dark. Comparatively, I think we just
they
Fritz
cut off
of last season, and there's a little the elements
heads.
Of him in here,
yeah.
Where with the head chopping off.
Which was awesome.
The actual Fritz episodes to me were a lot darker.
That's
because
fair.
Of like seeing our character have to deal with all of that. This was just like sci-fi. You're gonna have to kill people to get to
get
things.
Yeah, to
as
get
you
stuff
would
done.
Because the Kree are trying to kill you. So yeah. Chop off their heads.
Off with their heads.
Yeah.
It's the Tehran thing to do.
It's less of like, and we've seen a lot of like sort of the gritty side of this. At the beginning of season 4, when they moved over to the 10 o'clock time slot, things got a lot darker and a lot more graphic.
Oh, yeah. Lest we forget the beginnings of Ghost Rider last season.
Ripped out that guy's spine. And even prior to that, before the series moved, there was a lot of implied body horror stuff. And let's not even talk about like Hive. But like there was a lot of implied body horror, and then once we got to the beginning of season 4, that's when it started becoming explicit body horror. And yeah, we get the remnant of Fritz when we see him set off that trap.
Thank you for using the correct term for
yes.
Framework Fritz. Framework Fritz is Fritz, and we've coined that. Thanks. Second, here's the interesting element that I saw when Fritz came back for half a second. Jenna questioned it, and then secretly, I think she liked it. I think she actually liked it.
I don't know if I agree.
And I'll tell you why. Because she goes, later on, it's like when Flint comes in and he's like, oh, good touch. It's like, no, actually, that was the fiance. As if, like, now they're, like, kind of both a little more... dark.
I think what it did a really good job of setting up is that, yes, there's still this dark side of Fitz. That was a component of his personality yes. that was amplified during his time in the framework. But let's not forget, Gemma went undercover with Hydra for an entire season, for a good chunk of time, and she survived an outing in space. And we forget that she has just as much of a dark side, but we don't really see much of their dark side come out when they're together.
She's dealt with dark stuff, but I don't know that we've ever seen Gemma really portray a dark side to her. And I think she's reacting to the Fritz move because it was not because it was the wrong thing to do, but because from Fitz, it's surprising, and also it wasn't something he had to struggle with, or like, he's like, I know this is the right thing, but I don't want to do it. He just was like, this is the right thing. I'm going to set it up. Boom. Done. Let's keep going.
And he said, let them fear. They have to fear following us. It wasn't just, oh, we had to take them out. They need to fear following us.
And that is so twisted. I love it, and I'm really looking forward to once stuff settles down, like they'll get back and they'll be on the run, I'm sure, right away. But if Fitz and Simmons can ever like stop for like a week,
do they sleep?
Any of the agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Do they sleep?
Pretty sure they haven't gotten a nap in a good long
look,
while.
Look, it's television. They don't go to the bathroom. They don't sleep. And they only eat if they need something to do with their hands.
I'm just talking about the circumstances they're living.
They only take showers if they need to show that a character is going through a lot of emotional turmoil or having sexy times. One of the two.
You know who needs a shower? Tess. I'm just annoyed by... Because look, Coulson was brought back and he's clean. Why does Tess look like a crackhead?
Years later.
Like a zombie crackhead. Like, let Tess... Hey,
she's been mostly dead all day. Give her a break.
Give her some lotion. Okay?
Some moisturizer.
Like Ashy Larry Tess over here in space. Like,
in her mental institute chic clothing.
I'm not gonna lie. I keep looking at Tess as though, like, at any second, it's gonna turn out that she's not actually still alive. That it's, like, a metal endoskeleton that's like puppeteering her, but like, and that's why she's wearing like the turtleneck. But I appreciate that as dark as the show chooses to go, or like dips its toes in every now and then, that it hasn't done that just yet.
What I was saying before, just with Fitz and Simmons, like when they stop moving, when they're forced to like just be, there's no imminent threat. That's when the Fritz aspect of it is going to really come into question, and whether or not it's going to affect their relationship.
Yeah.
Because it's useful right now. It is saving their lives. But as soon as it becomes, is Fitz the same guy he was before he went through that?
Is Gemma the same person?
Well, that's the question.
Do they have anything in common if it isn't for imminent death and danger? Do they actually know each other that well? Like, there's couples that thrive in a dramatic situation because that's what they go through. But as soon as that situation ends, and this actually happens psychologically with couples that are in, like, the armed forces, where when that situation's over, like, you know, you're not in Baghdad anymore.
It takes away the foundation of their relationship. It takes away the excitement. Yeah.
Exactly, because their common experience of being in danger all the time was what was the mutual interest between the two.
Ironically, like, I think they were completely perfect for each other at the very beginning, like before the show started, at the very top of the show.
They had been colleagues for years.
Gemma goes through her like dark, twisted experiences. Fitz goes through his dark, twisted experiences. And until they can take time and stop, we're not going to know if those different types of experiences left them in a place where they can lean on each other the same way that they would have.
All I'm saying is that I'm really glad that they're both on the side of good, because they would both make terrifying evil scientists. Like, could you imagine them as a power couple for the side of evil? Like, that would be downright terrifying.
Oh, man.
You mean like creating an LMD that creates a framework and then throws them all in? That kind of evil?
But what if they were trying to be evil?
Like, yeah, that was all unintentional.
What if they were trying to be evil? That is like my dream come true. Look, I way more like
Turan's got loads and loads now. Of fan fiction
that is
about
my
the evil
fan
AU.
Of course, I just love it.
But as dark as we could go down that route, we do get that little moment of levity of like, oh, that was the fiance. Oh, I said that out loud. I don't think I told everybody yet.
As if people
I took that as him bragging, like trying to be like, oh, I really want to tell you, but it's not the right time to bring it up, so I'm just going to slip this in there.
That was just me, fiance. When are you going to pop the question to Yo-Yo? I mean, like, just wondering. Maybe we could go on a double date. We mentioned Tess, but let's talk about Coulson a little bit, talking about characters who have been brought back. And we get that moment of between the two of them of where he's like, I've gone through what you're going through, looking at what we've achieved, trust me, it's worth it. But what we see in this episode is that Coulson seems to have an expiration date, and we're not really sure what has caused the onset of whatever illness seems to be taking his life.
The dark, like, spidery veins in his chest.
Now, is this a delayed result of the Tahiti Project, of, like, maybe it brought him back, but only for a limited amount of time, and we're only just now seeing him start to deteriorate? Or is this the result of whatever deal he made with the devil at the end of last season?
I think it's probably a combination of the two. I think it's something where he sold a soul that he didn't have anymore.
Oh.
Kind of thing. Because, like, he died and came back. So having gotten a second chance, he made a deal that he couldn't pay up on.
Oh, yeah. You got no collateral, man.
And now the vengeance demon is, like, pissed.
And it's just, like, gonna slowly but surely
destroy
him. Kill
him with varicose veins. That's what's gonna happen. You're just gonna look like you should always.
Maybe he's not dying. Maybe he's just getting older. And he's like, gosh, guys, like, maybe I'm just subconscious about it.
Can I live? I also think that this is a great setup for what's going to happen when they do go back, as we have been anticipating. I feel that the Ghost Rider element is not out of play.
Oh,
and I think that a Mephisto crossover into something is possible, that the deal has way more. Because it was like, okay, this is another piece of string that we've just left, and now they're going to tie everything together. And hopefully we get a payoff for all of this.
I'm hoping so. But, like, Coulson dying does tie into the brief glimpses of the future past that we saw through Robin's visions, with May taking care of her without Coulson being around. So that does tie into that. And if Coulson dies before the world is broken apart, then that might explain why Daisy's choosing to stay behind right before the world explodes. And that's something that he says when he's adamant that she can't stay behind to try to prevent that future, because he says, I need you to lead. So if he understands that he's dying, he clearly wants Daisy to be his successor. And that, I feel like that's a really good way for, if we don't get another season, like, him passing the torch off to her to lead the team is a fitting end. If we don't get another season,
that's blasphemous.
Which part?
Yeah,
Coulson dying.
Coulson dying.
No,
Daisy becoming the leader.
No.
Not getting another
don't
season.
Don't ever speak about Daisy. Not getting another season. I need to know what happened.
He called her Daisy.
I need
guys.
It more.
Aw. It warms my heart every time you call her by her right name.
Well, I'm over the other name. I don't even remember what it was. I don't even remember what it was. So it's like, I want to call her the other name, but now it's just Daisy. So.
But yeah, I... Given how much Daisy's gone through, I think she is the perfect choice to, you know, lead the team. But it's clearly not a role that she would... I also wonder if that's a role that she wants.
But that's
if Coulson's
why
not around.
She's the right person, because she doesn't want it. The person who wants to lead, that's not the person that should be chosen, because that's usually a person with an agenda or ambitions
and ego
that are different. Exactly. Yeah. So Daisy is obviously, she can do anything she puts her mind to because she's amazing and I love her. My question in this scenario, with especially with Coulson dying, one of the themes that I see in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is, why not now? So what I mean by that is, Coulson and May, come on, guys. Like, at this point, Coulson, you have nothing to lose, right? You're going to die. You got to make the move. Deacon Tess.
Seal the deal, man.
When was he going to seal the deal?
I don't know.
There have been times where they've even been, and he could have just been like, May, you know what? Just like, I like you, and this is how I feel, and guess what? We could die any second.
That's what they were going to do. And then a giant monolith zumped them into the future.
Sure. They were going to get together, and then she got replaced by a robot. And then once they all got back together,
so
they got launched into the future.
Do it now. Deacon Tess, that needed to happen. Deacon Daisy, obviously there's like some unspoken something there.
Poor Deke.
Deke just gets the short end of all the sticks after... you know, redeeming his qualities and his characteristics that we've all been like, oh, what a weasel. And he turns out to be the guy that saves the day and sacrifices himself.
He and Enoch, I was really bummed by that. Like, it was kind of funny because, like, his last words were, oh, son of a... So it was kind of a comedic scene, but at the same time, it's like both he and Enoch are gone. And that's such a bummer, because Deke was becoming really likable and Enoch was becoming one of the best comedic elements of this show.
Enoch was a lot of fun. I don't think Deke is dead, though.
Well,
I think because they were using a piece of monolith to like channel all that and to boost it. I think he got pulled in. I think Enoch's probably gone. If anything, maybe we'll get his body or something there.
Yeah.
But I think Deke got like... pulled through with them,
I
and
like
he's going to pop
being alive.
Up.
I agree.
He just, I think there's more to do with that character.
Yeah.
Like that didn't feel final to me.
But well, the test at the end when she's talking to Flint and is like, are you sure he's dead? And then Flint's like, well, he was right next to the explosion that would kill everything. And then it was like a foreshadow of Deke isn't dead.
Yeah.
Well, and even if he is dead in this instance, both him and Enoch, I mean... there's still the chance that once we break the loop, that everything and sort of, you know, once our heroes survive whatever, you know, the actual destruction of the Earth and find a way to break the loop, then it's possible that by setting everything's right, you know, the future will go on and everything will be fixed.
How mad would
Maybe?
You guys be if the loop was the continuation and the show did get canceled? And I was just like, they're just forever stuck in this time. They are forever stuck in this loop, and that was the end of that.
They're stuck in a loop where Yo-Yo's getting murdered.
Oh.
May is raising a daughter who can barely understand the flow
like the world
of time.
Around her. Oh. Coulson dies by whatever horrible hellish disease is ravaging his body. Gravitonium destroys the world.
I mean, the way you guys described it actually sounded like Melrose Place, but yeah, like it's very similar.
You know, it's been a while since I've watched Melrose Place.
I'm just throwing it out.
I don't recall time.
There's still a part of me that thinks that this might be some kind of misdirect towards the end of Infinity War. The season is going to wrap up right around the time Infinity War comes out. I don't know that for sure. I don't know what the scheduled finale is. We're taking the next month off, and we have 12 episodes left. So that would get us right to May. And that there's no. So I don't think there's any other reason to take March off except that. Oh, wait, because we didn't know about this. This means we are going to jump over Black Panther for episode 100.
Yeah, because. Because we're taking a month off because I assume of the Olympics. And yeah, by the time Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. picks back up, Black Panther will have already been out for about 2 weeks, but...
No, but ABC wouldn't care about the Olympics. It's all on NBC.
Yeah, but it's less of, like, their airing schedule and more of, like, a ratings thing. Like, I know a lot of stuff wants to take a little bit of a break, or the stuff that does come back during February is stuff that it's, like... People aren't going to be watching the Olympics for this particular show, so
yeah,
I don't know. Anyway, it always screws up some viewing schedule.
Yeah, but Infinity War comes out in May.
Yes.
So this would get 12 more episodes starting in March would get us through March, April, and into May. So the finale would fall right around the Infinity War release, which I think is May 25th. If the result of Infinity War is the Earth being destroyed, and then we have to, like, put it back together with the Infinity Gauntlet or whatever. Because we've introduced a thing that can literally magic anything into the universe or out of the universe or reset the universe.
I need this gauntlet.
But if Thanos breaks the world and that's what we're seeing, and it's just a misdirect that everyone thinks it was Daisy, I could see them going that way to get that major tie-in that would only really affect Shield fans, but it wouldn't have to work the other way. Sort of like the way the Hellcat showing up in Age of Ultron worked.
Infinity War would end with Thor going, "Who's Daisy?" And that would be
no. Like that, as in Daisy, because we don't have any hard evidence that she actually did anything to the world. But so maybe Thanos destroyed the world, but this remnant of who survived only had the evidence of Daisy, because their evidence is circumspect to begin with.
Super circumstantial.
So if that's the case, and then by the end of Infinity War, we fix the world because of the events of the movie, then Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. comes back in, all of a sudden having fixed everything and dealing with the fallout of that.
Well, I rewatched the video footage of what Daisy was doing, and we keep calling it circumstantial, and like that's just not enough evidence. But if you look really close,
it's the first weekend of May. I'm sorry, there's a lot of movies coming out. I think Solo comes out at the end of the month. I got them backwards.
You can't do that. But if you rewatch the footage of Daisy coming out of the aircraft carrier and just walking around, she, in all fairness, she does look extremely guilty.
They haven't been able to fix her powers yet. She's still got the inhibitor activated.
But she looks guilty. She looks like, shit, did I just destroy the world? That's the look. That's the look on her face.
Shoot. I think that's more of like a look of finality, because they're again, at this point in time, they already know that the world is effed. So that's more of what I assume is a look of resignation. But the only issue I have with your theory, Zach, is that once again, if that's what ends up happening, then once again, we got the gravitonium tease that doesn't amount to anything.
Unless the result of all this is that Graviton shows up. And that's our finale. Because, like, okay, so if it's May...
How funny would that be if in Infinity War is when we get that payoff, if all of a sudden, as Thanos is doing his thing, Graviton shows up and he's like, who's that?
Because, okay, so if it's coming out on May 4th, then we get through, like, just enough of the season to have, like, 2 episodes left. So we would have Infinity War, and then S.H.I.E.L.D. will have 2 episodes to clean up its storyline with a world reset thing, where the world doesn't get destroyed. But now we have to deal with Graviton because he's running around.
I'm going to have to
look up Graviton because you guys really like this guy.
Here, I'm going to show you a photo of him and you're going to laugh.
We're going to see some Graviton does he do exactly?
It's not so much.
Graviton is a Hulk villain in the comics. Like, sure. That's just the hero he's based around. He's a scientist. He has gravity powers. Like, it's as simple as that. And
it's not so much that we love him as it is the series has been teasing him, and it's been a dangling plot thread ever since season one.
They introduced the character in season one and then just didn't pay it off. They, like, literally, they put him inside the gravitonium, but this is what the character looks like.
I like them.
For those of you listening
on
iTunes,
if you can see this in the camera, that's Graviton, or just Google it.
The doc got a makeover. Wow, that is lustrous hair.
Yeah, it is excellent hair, actually.
Yeah, it's fabulous.
Graviton.
Let's you were mentioning some performances Dr. earlier Hall. In this earlier in this recap, and yeah, let's talk about Yo-Yo. For a minute, because Yo-Yo is basically looking at a terrifying specter.
Sure.
She's looking at her future self, who has been murdered and resurrected over and over again to provide Cassius with information about her team. And not only has she been killed and brought back to life over and over again, which in and of itself is a hellish existence, but you also see that she's been physically maimed. Like, and they have they'll bring her back to life just to torture her for information, to the point where she doesn't have her arms anymore and she can't escape. And who knows just how long they've had her in this state. And that's a really, and this is what I'm talking about in terms of, like, really dark stuff in this episode, because this is, Yo-Yo is one of the most beloved characters on the show. She is a fan favorite for a lot of people, and seeing her future self maimed, tortured, and then murdered over and over again, and then killed a final time in front of Mac, that's a really horrific thing for a character to go through. Especially knowing that we're in a time loop, and that's then there's no way for her to escape it.
And her being told, like, you've heard this conversation, you've tried to fix it, but it doesn't help.
And she's like, wow, this sounds really weird being on this end of the conversation. I wish there was something I could say to make you do something different, and there's not. I'm saying it right now. And so, yeah, that's, for me, this is one of the best well-executed scenes, because I know that we had some issues with Robin's death scene. As emotionally impactful as it was, it felt like they were really stretching it out. And I felt like they were stretching out the scene with Yo-Yo a little bit too, but I felt like the emotional impact was still there as well.
Yeah, I didn't have a... I thought it definitely was effective, because we're like... We're not watching it for Yo-Yo because our Yo-Yo is still alive, but we're watching it for Mac, who thinks this is his Yo-Yo, and is very confused, because he's like, why is your arm missing, but it seems healed? Why do you look a lot older? But he's just...
I wouldn't say a lot older. That's a little...
Well, she's looking like Tess terms of, like, gray and ashen.
Exactly. Yeah, her face is not... It has no color
she's
in it. That looks a lot older.
She's in the sunken place.
Oh, no!
So, I mean, it happens. It's... The concept of Yo-Yo being chained and giving information is interesting, because we don't know exactly how much Yo-Yo even could give. How much does she know? What does she know? And why did she not regurgitate this information to herself, the Yo-Yo? So why is she not... I don't know why there's a lack of just giving people information. I will give you as much information as possible, and then, like, the sign should come up, like, more than things to know, you know? Like, knowing's half the battle. Did no one watch G.I. Joe growing up? Like, just give me as much... What? Viable information as possible.
I buy it more from Yo-Yo in this scene than I necessarily did from Robin.
100%. 100%.
Which, again, I really liked that scene. It was very good.
We're afraid
good
to not like something because of the comments you have placed below. We are afraid to actually critique this show, and we have to keep apologizing if there's something we don't like, because the comment bullies are like, then don't watch the show. I say it. I speak the truth. Okay?
It's okay. We're allowed to critique stuff. You're okay to... You're allowed to not like a particular
You're allowed
episode.
To not like us, but we're allowed to not like things too.
And guys, it's differing opinions that make conversations worth having. Anyway, but in terms of this scene, Yo-Yo not being able to impart information, it's less of like a writer contrivance and more of like, again, the finality of the time loop and this sense of resignation of like, as I'm saying, like, I practice what I would say in terms of, like, trying to get you to do something different to save everybody. But even as I'm saying this right now, I know that there's nothing I could say to make you do anything different. That, like, there's nothing I can do right now. And it's that finality and of, like, futility of being in a time loop. And that's one of the good... That's... Probably the best thing, I think, to come out of this whole time travel pod is this sense of, like, there's nothing we can do because otherwise it would be a time paradox. And for the longest time this season, we were wondering, okay, what kind of time travel are we working with? Is it wibbly wobbly? Is it set? And it's kind of nice to hear everything being set and to have showing that actions do have consequences.
Well, I feel like Yo-Yo makes a decision to go and try to save people and then ends up running into her own Yo-Yo, which is basically a reminder that this is a time loop because it keeps happening the exact same way, which actually, to me, made me think that maybe Daisy should be left behind. And the reason being is because the Einstein theory of insanity, of doing the same thing over and over and over again, expecting a different result, that's the concept they keep
was
doing.
Was that Einstein?
It was Einstein. So... that is Einstein. So the concept is, who'd you think it was?
I don't know. I just thought it was the definition of insanity.
It's not at all. It's actually an Einstein theorem. That's so funny. So the concept is...
It's true.
Wow. The more you know. Again, see, no one is half the battle.
So the concept is, they keep doing everything exactly the same. So I don't know if they've done the little details, but the big like crossing T's and dotting the I's, they're doing exactly the same thing to the point where people are anticipating their actions, right? So my problem with it is, why not change it up? Why not go, hey, maybe Daisy should stay, or I should stay, or this should happen. Let's just see what happens. Worst can happen. It's a time loop, right? So let's try it all again.
Well, I think the implication is that they do, is that, like, because Fitz, during one of the flashes that we see, he's like, we've tried this over
sure,
and
but
over
they're
again.
Groundhog daying it. What they're doing is they're doing all the stuff, but not realizing that the one thing they do need to fix is themselves.
Ah. That's deep.
That's real.
I do want to switch gears a little bit to talk about Cassius because we of all the characters that we're having a send-off for, you know, Deacon Enoch, we also lose Cassius in this episode. And you have to hand it to your buddy Dominic because he did a really good job in this episode of, like, just playing mentally unhinged really, really well.
He went nuts.
I think the most engrossing parts of this episode were just the conversations he's having with Sonara, who's super dead at this point. And he's like, and his soldiers are like, what's the
we're
plan,
discussing
boss?
The plan.
We're discussing it right now. Jeez.
And like, they're just okay. Like, oh, God.
Okay.
I just see them, like, in a little side, just like, we're all going to die. Right? Yeah, you should get ready for that.
We're like, make final arrangements. Call your lawyer.
Bring her back. I can't. Okay. Yeah,
it's so hard to get good help these days.
It is.
He's like, you know this. Like, that's not how... She's dead. She's a warrior. She died fighting. I don't care. And then he pulls out what do you have, a Glock?
He actually just had a regular gun.
It wasn't even a space gun.
And I love the social commentary, which has been very prevalent throughout the last season going into this season. The last two seasons and a half, where they even made the slight remark, it's like,
oh, guns are terrifying.
Yeah, there should be. I hope these don't go into the hands of the wrong people. It's just very, I like that aspect because it does relate. It's very relatable to everything that's going on right now. Now, I'm not getting into
the polarizing kind of,
argument of what side to fall on. But
I think it's kind of confused commentary, though. Like, I, as much as I appreciate those lines of like, wow, those should be illegal or whatever the line actually was, it's kind of undermined a couple minutes later when Deke shoots a guy and then goes, where has this been all my life? This makes everything so
but
much
he's not
easier.
The bad guy. That's how we all view ourselves.
Yeah,
but thinks they're the bad guy. Everyone else is.
Yeah, and your point is not wrong, though, man.
It's kind of like spoiler alert. I watched Winchester on Friday, and that whole movie can be summarized with guns caused this supernatural problem. Now the only way to fix it is guns. So,
how else do you fix supernatural problems? Silver bullets, duh.
Yep.
Ectoplasm.
Yep.
Thank you.
But yeah, Kasaius goes like kind of full Hulk when he takes that creepy CP. And actually, which is really interesting because the only bits of violence that we've seen from him prior to Sinara's death have been backstabbing and left to other people to do. But with Sinara dead, he's got nothing left to lose now.
And he says so.
Yeah.
He says, like, and it's like, I guess their family motto, when you have nothing left to lose, die with honor. Die just killing everyone. Like, that's kind of what he says.
And then he's just like, all right, hold on. I'm going to get some Kree bath salts out. We're going to go for it.
He took a note from you, Taron, and to the death!
I've never done bath salts. Let's not... it's to the death, but with the method to the madness. This was madness, and my question of Max in human strength is because he took a beating from Kasaius, who is still... We don't know his Kree extent because we get little snippets of who his father was or is or isn't, and the conqueror of coming to the world, which is very interesting.
I guess the implications are that now that the rest of the crew is going back to the past, is that we'll actually get to see who Kasaius' father is, because we'll get to see the Earth destroyed and we'll get to see the Kree invasion.
Is he... I have a question. What race is Thanos?
He's not.
I
don't know that he's ever
purple.
I don't know that it's been identified. It might have been in his recent run, but I haven't read it yet.
Well, we should find out, because if Thanos turns out to be Kasaius' father,
he's not a Kree.
Well, at least not. I don't know if Kasaius' father is a Kree either, because he specifically says this: the race that turned their back on my father. He doesn't even mention Kree, which he has done before in other instances.
To your credit, Thanos does have a lot of adopted children, looking at Gamora and Nebula. He does have a lot of adopted children that he... But Kasaius doesn't fit the typical MO.
Thank you, chat. Thanos is a Titan, which I knew he was a Titan. I didn't realize that was like a race that he was necessarily part of.
What are the girls?
They come from all different races. They're literally just children he kidnaps and then gives cybernetic enhancement to.
Is the blue one a Kree?
I don't know. I don't know what Nebula is.
Nebula is not a Kree. I don't know what she is, but she's not a Kree.
As far as Kasaius is at, we have a comment in the live chat about poetic justice, because the way that Mac is able to get the upper hand is Gemma taking the silencer that she pulled out of the other servant and giving it to Kasaius.
That's a great point.
That was awesome.
And then Max stabs him in the back, which he's done, what Kasaius has done. That's actually a great book ending for my cousin Kasaius.
Death by shotgun axe. R.I.P., man.
Oh, man, he flips around that blade. We're like, I didn't even know you could do that with that thing.
Of course, Mac can do anything with a shotgun axe. It's Mac.
And again, talking about Mac Rage is like, he took several direct hits to the face from a Kree. And, Kasaius isn't exactly a Kree warrior by any means, but still, we know that they're super strong.
But Kree are very strong, and he was on the bath salt. So did they name that?
They did.
Called it PCP.
No, they called it like it was something like opioid or something like that. It had a name.
Okay. I missed it.
I think odium.
Something along those lines.
Yeah, I think it was odium when he first, he puts it in the mouth of the guy.
Ty. I prefer space PCP or Kree bath salts. Either one of those works for me. We are running short on time. Do you guys have any final thoughts on this episode before we delve into some predictions?
Quick notes that I did want to discuss is Max's fatherly affection towards Flint.
Yeah.
That was like very precious. It was very sweet. Also, his affection towards Yo-Yo was more prevalent, except when she died for some reason, but it was more prevalent in this episode. He's like, every time she's like, I'm gonna go do this, he really felt like don't go. Even when they leave, it's because they left together. Felt that. And I appreciated that. And it's interesting that Coulson's actions are different. He makes Daisy do something rather than trying to explain it to her, which is something he would have done before. And now he just kind of does it.
It's one of those things where if he's dying again, and time is of the essence, and doesn't want to leave her stranded in the future, and has again, I guess, aspirations of her being his successor, then like, yeah, it's not cool to take away her agency, but at the same time, it's like, he's dying. He's like, F it. She'll get over it.
And Flint finds a girlfriend at the end, and then kind of makes a move on Tess. Player, player. Like, Flint. Like, you know, he's like, I know where to go.
He's like 13.
He's actually 16,
and we...
I'm really sad he didn't go back with them, though, because I want him, Yo-Yo, and Mac to be a family.
I did think Mac was going to die, because they kept alluding towards Mac's death, and I was like, is he gonna die in this episode?
I feel like that's coming for sure.
I thought, I'm surprised that we got out with everybody.
Yeah.
I thought we were gonna leave somebody behind.
I feel like now that we're going back to the present and we've seen snippets of what's to come, I feel like Gemma's gonna bite the dust, Coulson's gonna bite the dust, and so is Mac. And we're gonna lose all three of them before we find a way to break this loop and fix everything. So I don't know, we'll see.
I was sort of waiting for Flint and Tess to like pop out of existence though.
like the second they go back in time, they just like,
well, if they fix the world, then they don't exist anymore.
You're a dark person, Zach. Pop out of existence. Okay.
It's just the truth. Like, if they're successful, then Flint and Tess no longer exist.
I'm fine with the beheading. Not existing, you know, because I've felt that before. Have you ever called like three people in a row and no one picks up and you just start thinking you don't exist?
Okay. You're like, am I Bruce Willis? What's happening?
Exactly.
I think that talking about like time travel, like erasing people from existence, I've heard that as like a quantum abortion. And yeah, that could very well happen to these two characters, which poor Tess, you know, she's already been murdered and brought back to life. That's a horrific end for that character, if that's what's going to end up happening.
The chat's calling me mean, too. Like,
guys, these are just things that could happen in the next pod.
I'm calling it like it is.
Or Zach is just mean. I don't know, guys. It's okay.
The truth.
Remember, we said you can have opinion. Remember the you can have?
The truth can be mean sometimes, guys.
Rude, Zach. Rude. So, yeah, let's really quick rapid-fire predictions before we got to wrap it up.
Okay.
All right.
AfterBuzz TV predictions.
So yeah, the crew gets back to the past and they are on the run.
Immediately. Which is of course the case because if we remember, they were waiting to get arrested in that diner.
They're not just wanted, they're most wanted.
Going back to the past, Enoch is still alive. So, and we know Hunter is taking care of Robin. So they do have allies in the past still hanging around. I guess the question is how long that's going to last before our characters start getting bumped off.
They have allies. They don't have the guy in the helicopter, but they do have allies.
Robbie Reyes, yeah. Come back.
Yeah. So I think some predictions real quick. I think that we meet Cassius's father, and I'm really excited to see that. It's going to be some interesting because obviously he tries to take over the world. I also think that we watch Coulson have a hidden agenda on his disease. And we see that unfold. I also think that the person that we saw in the preview with the mask on is the general person. So, and I like that.
Yeah, because we know for a fact we're getting Dove Cameron when we get back.
Ruby. I think that's going to be Dove Cameron in the
mask
suit thing.
I do not think so. I think it's going to be...
Now, were
mom,
those tech...
Dove is the daughter and
now,
betrays her.
Were trust. Those guys, were they the watchdogs with like, added tech? I guess that's a good question because we know for a fact that the watchdogs are still very much a thing because inhuman hatred is still very
who's
prevalent.
Who's the supreme leader?
The superior?
Yeah. Did we ever meet them?
Yeah, we did.
That's
and
the
his
guy
head
that
is in a jar.
Yeah, he's sure. He's now an LMD
who's
running
above
around
that
talking...
person?
I mean, he's sort of on his own now. I think he's just out in the world, forming so, MODOK.
so
he said it. I'm not making that up. It was on the show.
Graviton. So Graviton and MODOK.
He very well could be a player as the series gets back to the past.
I think General Hale, who we met in Fitz's episode in what is now the present again, that's going to be interesting how that works out.
Yeah.
But so I think we're going to meet we're gonna meet her again. I think that she is like sending Dove Cameron's character Ruby out in that military gear. I think she's gonna turn out to be some form of inhuman or like level or what we used to call them back in the day.
Mutants?
No.
Remember that word?
No, the in season one we always there was a term for anyone who was who had power.
Enhanced. Enhanced. Well, individuals? Enhanced,
but there was like a code name for it that I can't remember. It had the number 8 in it.
Oh yeah.
Either
way,
chat will be yelling
and
at
805?
Me.
No, that's
something like that. Something but different. Like chat will yell at me in a second.
084.
084.
And 084. Yes.
Thank
I was
you,
close.
George
I was
Sulkis.
One number off.
That was good.
And Dave Kadegeshi and everyone that's now yelling at me in the chat.
Well, he's mean. So
I think she is some kind of 084. If it's not an inhuman, and the general, her mother has put her into play, but she'll come on to the agent's side at some point.
Cool. And we still have an inhuman hanging out in the ocean somewhere. That's... Wouldn't it be crazy if he's the one that broke apart the earth? Like they just dumped him into the middle of the ocean, and he's what breaks the world apart.
What's his name? Yeah. Why do I know his name? Like every other character, I'm like, you know, the guy that was. You know the one, and you're like, Ward? Oh, yeah, Ward, that guy. And then Vijay Singh, I know his social security number, 994-216.
Vijay, like, ingrained in your brain.
I don't know why.
Well, anyway, guys, I think that's going to do it. We'll be back in a month's time when the show returns in March. Thank you guys for taking time out of your Super Bowl Sunday to sit down and watch live with us. You guys are the best, and feel free to leave comments with what you guys think the next pod is going to bring. Zach, where can people go if they want to find you?
You guys can continue to yell at me for getting 084 on Twitter or Instagram at that Zach Wilson, THATZACHWYLSON. I'll see you guys in a month.
Catch me at I Am Tehran, all across the board at IAM Tehran, TEHRAN. And especially in the comments below when you guys are hating me, just make sure you spell my name right. That's TEHRAN.
No Y's or anything like that.
Someone called me Tyrone and I was actually offended.
There's a lower third with his name, guys. There's no excuse for misspelling it. Be sure to send Jesse your well wishes at JessKlein1. We miss him. We hope he feels better.
Do we?
Well, yes, if you're going to fight, again, do it on air.
I will.
And I'm Megan Salinas. You guys can tweet at me at TheMenguin. That's TheMenguin. Be sure to go to iTunes if you haven't already done so. Do rate, subscribe, leave a comment. We love hearing from you guys. And it's the best way to let our producers know that you like hearing us talk about Marvel content. Again, thank you guys so, so much for watching. Enjoy Black Panther, and we will see you in a month. Woo!
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
To the death!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.